This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
A six-year-old boy recently got into trouble for bringing a small toy gun on his school bus. The toy gun was plastic and was not much bigger than a quarter. Yet the bus driver claimed that the tiny toy created a disturbance and traumatized the other children. Because of the school's zero-tolerance policy, the student was assigned detention and forced to write a letter apologizing to the bus driver. The school even considered revoking the six-year-old's bus riding privileges. Now, it's ridiculous to punish a kindergarten student for carrying a small plastic toy. The toy gun did not endanger anybody, and no one could possibly have mistaken it for a real gun. Sending the boy to detention did not make anybody safer. Instead, it sent a message that the school will punish small children even though they did nothing wrong. Taxpayer dollars should not pay school officials to bully kindergarten students. Punishing students based on the shape of their small plastic toys is really outrageous. But the overreach of school officials does not end there. Earlier this year, a seven-year-old student was suspended from school for 2 days because of the shape of the strawberry tart he was eating. The boy had nibbled away at parts of the pastry, and school officials thought it then resembled a gun. The boy said he did not intend to shape the pastry into the form of a gun. Nevertheless, an assistant principal sent a letter to parents offering counseling to students who may have been traumatized by the pastry in the shape of a gun. In another recent case, a student was suspended for displaying a picture of a gun on his computer. Will school administrators soon ban illustrations of guns in history textbooks? Will they prohibit the word gun? Taxpayer-funded schools should use common sense and stop censoring children.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free, at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extend. My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendivite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendivite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Anne Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is annediamond.net. Let's backtrack just a bit. I want to ask you about the Quebec Conference of 1943. Mm-hmm. And now Churchill and Roosevelt attended. And you say that they sort of made a deal with the Prime Minister of Quebec at the time, Duplessis. How do you say
Duplessis? Duplessis. I'm more conjecturing, or I'm saying that would have been the ideal moment, and everything that came afterwards. That came afterwards seems to suggest that there was a very close collaboration between the Catholic Church in Quebec with its population of orphans that they had to feed and take care of, and they didn't want.
Okay,
and
so
the American and Canadian military, who needed guinea pigs for experiments. Terrific, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I was thinking
Tavistock. From the time, what's that?
Spring Harbor.
Sorry?
I was thinking in terms of the Quebec Conference in 1943 of Tavistock, which Churchill would certainly have known about, and Cold Spring Harbor, which Roosevelt certainly was aware of.
And that was what year? 43, too?
Pardon me?
Was that in 43 also?
No, the Tavistock operations began early in the century.
That's right.
And the Cold Spring Harbor situation was probably 1909.
Okay, and so going back there, yeah.
So I was just, I'm just trying to piece things together. So you don't have any real information that happened,
I'll give you an example. Roosevelt's papers were bought by a Canadian newspaper baron called Conrad Black a few years ago. Now, I think there were diaries and all sorts of papers, personal journals and all sorts of things, his papers, basically. And Conrad Black was going to write a biography of Roosevelt. He purchased these documents for something like $4 million. He put them in his New York office, and he keeps them under armed guard. What do you mean? So that you and I are not going to go there and find
boy,
them.
Oh, boy, would I love to go and see those. Okay, so
yeah.
He bought them.
Well, that's just an example of what the kind of thing, when you're trying to find out about this era and all these things, you're up against a huge amount of strangeness and secrecy, right? It's totally daunting, and it's one reason why I kind of almost left off trying to tell my story in a way. I mean, wrote a personal story about what I was able to verify, because when you look for documents, they're not there. They've been destroyed or they're hidden. You know,
right.
But I can tell you another odd, so the coincidence is that, just after the war, there were these conferences and they were talking about unconventional weapons of the future. And around that time, some of these experiments, they didn't get going until the later in the 40s. In 1953, it was when Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA, right, he was the initiator of the MK Ultra program.
Right.
That, and in March of 1953, he signed that program into existence and gave it all these powers and so on, and was allowed to operate in secrecy. All right, 6 months later, orphans in Quebec began boarding trains to to be taken from their orphanages and placed in mental hospitals across the province of Quebec, and we're talking about thousands of kids. And many of them were then instantly put into psychiatric experiments, just like the kind of thing I've been telling you about that I think was going on at McGill. They were doing these in mental hospitals around Quebec, run by the Catholic Church most of the time, French-speaking orphans, and many of them died in those experiments. And those who survived have horrible tales that they tell about it, but, you know, if they can remember or anything. Again, you know, I've met some of those people, too, and the experiments on them are documented, the fact, very carefully hidden.
Now you say the Catholic Church, were they operating most of the, Quebec, yeah, they would have operated most of the orphanages.
Yep, the Catholic, the majority of the population was French and Catholic, and so there are Protestant and English-speaking institutions in Quebec, and one of them is McGill University. But, on the French side, which is like, several million people at that time, the orphans would have gone into hospitals, taken out of Catholic orphanages, many of them, and put in psychiatric hospitals with adult patients. And there's photographic evidence of that. And lobotomies and things were performed on them. I mean, there are depressive orphan survivors who have written about that, and there's a lot of books that have been written about that. It's just a very disgusting chapter.
Indeed.
But,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, it becomes such an extreme story that it's almost, when you talk about it, and that was my problem back then especially, you sound crazy when you talk about this stuff, almost, Because people have to completely revise their idea of history to take it in.
Well, the other thing, too, is the fact that most of us would never, never dream of doing this to other people.
Yeah.
And so we just have no idea that we can't even conceive of people doing that.
No.
So...
And how
it does
could that,
sound unbelievable.
It's like accusing, and in some cases, I just want to, we were talking about, we won't talk about Nazi doctors, we can just leave them completely out of this, because there were enough Canadian and American doctors ready to participate in this program. They didn't
Absolutely.
Need any Germans, and I can give you some names, but unfortunately, when you talk about some of the people that I found out were deeply involved, you're talking about some of the leading names in neuroscience, psychiatry at the time.
Sure.
I
have this book, War Against the Weak. It's by Edwin Black.
Black, yeah.
Talks about the eugenics in America's campaign to create a master race. Now, this started with Cold Spring Harbor, early 1900. And when you're talking about Churchill, he was a big proponent of euthanasia. He was a big proponent of population control, and he was a eugenicist.
And so
bring him up with the conference of 1943 and Roosevelt, whose family was also into eugenics. It's so easy to blame the evil Nazis for everything, when in fact a lot of this stuff was created a long time before.
In the English-speaking world, yeah.
Exactly.
The Lily White, the heroes of
Sure.
And that's our big shadow. I mean, that's where we have to grow up and start to look at our own shadow. But Churchill, and another thing I could say is McGill University was known as a eugenics-loving university. They brought eugenicists over from Glasgow and London, and they gave them, top positions and some, Sir William Osler, and you wouldn't know him, but, he's a very big name at McGill, and there's a library named after him, and so on, medical library, and, those men that were their portraits hang in the halls of McGill were eugenicists,
Yes.
And that's just one of Montreal, Canada's dark secrets. We never go there. McGill was deeply involved also after the war and even during the war in chemical and biological warfare research. One of the scientists who worked for McGill was very, very involved in the deep projects that were going on out, you know, in Ottawa and at Kingston Military Base. It was also at McGill's name was George Merck of Merck, you know, pharmaceuticals.
Right, yes.
And he's a statue to him now outside McGill, one of the buildings at McGill University. He's a, you know, he's a big, another big hero of the pharma.
Wow.
But he was deeply involved in botulism, toxin, you know, I did a whole bunch of research on that too. And they, for those experiments, during the Second World War, they used military volunteers. So Canadian soldiers would volunteer.
Sure. Oh, this is fascinating. All righty, we're going to a three-minute break. We will take your calls after we return at 800-313-9443.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get 1 free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy 3. This is a massive savings of $600 on a 4-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759. 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran owned and operated.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. We will take your calls at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is anndiamond.net. And we have an email question. Does your guest have any information on the connection with Amerindian children? Many who were not orphans, who were sent to Catholic and I think Episcopal run schools and were abused, and many disappeared. And the Canadian government is trying to keep it suppressed. You did mention the orphanages, but would you like to add anything to that question?
Well, you know, mean, other people are doing, you know, there's a lot going on. There was a demonstration in Vancouver the other day with 70,000 people marched for truth and reconciliation, but basically also, you know, to reveal the truth about, more of the truth about the residential schools in Canada. I mean, the death rate, they say, some people say was huge. I forget if it's 50,000 and something like
that. Did the media cover that event?
You know what? I saw it only on Facebook. It might have been in the papers, but a lot of people definitely posted it. I think maybe more the alternative. I think CBC probably called, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation probably also covered it, but I can't really tell you for sure. Probably they did. It was quite a big thing for Vancouver. But I can say that I've heard just, you know, anecdotally, I mean, I don't know if that's any help for this, but I've heard from people who were at the Allen as children, including one is Linda McDonald, who's a well-known writer and survivor of Dr. Cameron's experiments, and very respected and so on, been in films talking about it and so on. And she says she does remember seeing Aboriginal children coming in, being brought in there. I've been told the police would bring them in, the RCMP, you know, would bring in children they might take from homes that were having problems. They'd take the children away and they'd bring them right down to Dr. Cameron. I know someone who said that happened to her family, you know, herself. It, later on in the 70s, it was still happening. And people have reported, you know, that Aboriginal children were part of the experiments. They'd be the, you know, I hate to say it, they'd be considered the disposables, like
sure.
orphans, kids that nobody would come and look for, or nobody would be able to trace and so on.
Sure, and that's similar to the Indian reservations here in this country where they use the entire population on those reservations for medical experiments and
that's right. yeah.
give them shots. And, I mean, they have
that's
captive
been done here
audience.
Too in Canada. Sorry?
We're talking about prisons and orphanages. Well, include reservations in.
Mm-hmm. Up in northern Ontario, I've heard whole communities have been used. Yeah, but I also heard someone had written a book about it. I was told his book's coming out. You know, you'll see it. That was 5 years ago. And I never have seen any evidence that book got into print, you know. So
I wonder if,
it's easy to stop things that from coming out.
How about Kevin Annette? Is that the book you're talking about, or no?
No, it's just someone else I found out kind of by random. But Kevin's been forced to. I mean, forced. He's chooses it, but he publishes his own stuff. He doesn't. I mean, he's pretty well been, you know, what's the word? Blacklisted everywhere in academia, despite the, you know. A lot of very deep and detailed research. He's a very good researcher, a very thorough, you know, kind of documenter of things, you know.
Well, that's what happens to revisionists. They get blacklisted, and it's unfortunate. You have to publish your own work in order for it to be published because most of the publishing houses are controlled, and they just don't want this kind of stuff out. Why don't we take a caller? We have some callers lining up. Why don't we take... Kent in West Virginia. Kent, welcome.
Yeah, she's mentioned Dr. Cameron several times, and I've heard his name previously in a discussion in this general area of topic. And I've wondered at the time, now I believe James Cameron, the famous filmmaker, is a Canadian. Is he the son of this Dr. Cameron, do you know?
I've never, you know, can you tell me what he made? I can't tell you who James Cameron is.
Well, he's this real famous filmmaker that made Titanic and this Avatar. And
oh, are you sure?
Like real big...
God, I never saw it. I didn't see either of those. I walked out of the Titanic. Anyway.
I never saw him either, but I think he's Canadian. Well, he's also very famous for spending a lot of money on doing undersea exploration and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he's very scientific-oriented. I've often wondered if... Well, obviously, you don't know then.
I don't know. I've never heard that he was. I remember I was reading about Cameron. He had some kids, and I can't really tell you their names anymore. I don't remember. So,
what is his first name? Donald?
Donald Ewan Cameron.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, Cameron, I mean, Cameron was flooded with Scots after the clearances, right, after Bonnie Prince Charlie and Cameron's, and there are a lot of Cameron's here.
Yeah. Maybe just coincidence. It's just.
But I can tell you something parallel to that. It appears, I mean... this is a tricky thing to say, but from the research I've done and from stories people have told me and from other things that have been written, there was a doctor at the same, a contemporary, same a neurologist called Dr. Wilder Penfield, very well-known neurologist, world McGill, colleague of Cameron's at that time, also allegedly, according to what I hear, kept children in cages, used them in experiments. Now, his children and grandchildren are all in the media in Canada. I mean, the number of Penfields working in journalism, film, radio, TV, there's about five of them I could name. And direct descendants, right? It's, that would be one way to keep the story out of, you know.
Sure.
You just give those people editorial positions or whatever, which they have had.
And, well, another, you know, the idea of the Catholic Church, I think it's come out in Spain here within the last year or two that, you know, decades ago they were just taking the babies away from unwed children and unwed mothers and selling the babies. So
it was widespread,
So their collusion wouldn't be, unheard of. So, all right, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Now, apparently Penfield and McGill University got grant money from the Rockefeller Foundation.
Yeah, exactly. And Penfield founded what's called the Montreal Neurological Institute, again, a world-class, you know, neurological institute, part of McGill, and he founded it in 1932, came up from New York, where he'd been at the Presbyterian Hospital in New York, and he'd established a kind of reputation down there, brought up to Canada, brought Rockefeller money with him, or soon afterwards got it, and I think it was $3.2 million, which was a lot of money then, enough to build an institute.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that became, you know, the thing is, Montreal, Canada, they're very proud to have these people. Dr. Cameron, by the way, was also an American. He came, I think his base was in Albany, New York, and he used to drive up. He never had a permanent residence in Canada. He remained an American. He'd drive across the border in his black limousine. Chauffeur-driven, that black limousine comes up in the stories of children who say they were picked up and brought to the island in that limousine. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, I don't know, you know, it seems pretty strange, right? Pretty odd. And
no.
But then there was another doctor who would come up from Columbia, and it's very hard to find much information about what he did at McGill, but according to my, you know, and I hear here and there, I put the things together, it was Nolan D.C. Lewis, the head of psychiatry at Columbia Institute of Psychiatry. And he would have been, you know, he was also responsible for bringing, well, never mind, but he brought Dr. Franz Kellman over from Germany, but that was before the war, a eugenics psychiatrist, right, from Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, I think. And that was Rockefeller money that funded Kaiser Wilhelm, right? So,
yes.
And then Nolan Lewis came up to Montreal and seems to have, from what I hear, he was part of the experiments, the LSD experiments. He wrote on that topic, published books, child psychiatry, LSD. You know, all the stuff is there to build the case. It's just, you know, how do you prove it?
Well, let's take another caller. Let's take Steve, and he is from Canada. Steve, welcome to the program. We are going to a quick break. We'll be back in 4 minutes, so Steve, stay over the break. Sorry, I didn't realize we were up against a break. Be right back.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. And fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne. Glucosamine Chondroitin. Sea Cucumber. Colloidal Minerals. Superfam and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer. Our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D. MSM Sulfur Capsules and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is anndiamond.net. And we had a caller, Steve from Canada. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Yeah, I was listening in, and I love that this is getting out there. I've been noticing that more and more people have come out and spoken out about different programs, and I think that's really beneficial for anyone that's been involved in them. It's the biggest, darkest secret, I believe, or certainly one of the top three. I'm wondering if you've ever heard of Russ Dizdar.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, either one of you.
I haven't.
Tell
us.
Okay, well, Russ Dizdar. Now, don't confuse the message with the messenger. Russ Dizdar is he's a very Christian guy, but what he has done is he's like a soldier in this war about exposing the multiple programs and how prevalent it is in America, I guess, as well as in Canada. And he's worked with so many victims. Generally, or the majority of the time, it's kids that were raised on military bases. Whose families were somehow involved with military, and the experimentation, the cages, all of it, the extreme ritual abuse, the children being involved in sacrifices, sometimes children killed at sacrifices. But he's been, sometimes people might get scared off because he's such a diehard Christian, but that's his sword that he uses for protection, and he has gotten in the trenches with so many different people. It's so much more prevalent than we've ever been led to believe.
Yeah, I agree. Diana, do you have something to say to that? No. I'm just listening, yeah. I know there's so many stories, and I think all of them are horrifying and shocking, and I think the average person can't wrap their mind around it, and they've got it's like anything else that you've never heard of before that you just cannot fit into your worldview.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, you can be silenced easily.
Well, or
labeled as a person with problems, and therefore nobody talks, because to reveal, I had to be quite old before. If I'd known when I was younger, I'm not sure I would have come out and started talking about this. I would have ruined my career. Not that didn't also, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, anyone that speaks out will get, you know, attacked, and generally you get labeled the schizophrenic tag, right?
That's usually it.
Yeah, it's and that's across the board. It's so lame, really, when you start to look at it and realize, oh my God, they call you a schizophrenic too. It just seems to be their catchphrase for anyone that comes out and is starting to expose anything. My children were taken from me. Almost 17, 18 years ago, after I had found bruises, I had returned home and found bruises on my ex-wife's face, my wife at the time's face, and then my children were telling me about different strange things that they've been exposed to. So I went to Children's Aid and to the police and thought that I'll do things in the logistical right way. And then I found vans and cars following me, and I had repeated break-ins and ultimately death threats and was blacklisted. And all because of what? I wanted to know who had threatened my son and who had put bruises on my wife's face. And so that's what put me, or threw me, down this terrible rabbit hole. And you're right. Most people, it's too much for most people to even crack open that Pandora's box, because it's just so horrific. And you brought up some good points about, yeah, Hitler, but then prior to Hitler, it was Yale, and it was universities in, I'm sure, McGill, I think you mentioned, but
yeah,
most definitely I've heard of Yale and different East Coast universities.
Columbia
is
big, big, big.
And that was eugenics,
kind of,
right?
Thing. Well, yeah. I mean, they were involved in a lot of stuff, and including, and they have the Teachers College, and so, and they've had a lot of very interesting people allegedly who attended Columbia, but it's always been a school that, well, I guess all of them are, all of the higher educational facilities such as Harvard. They produce scholars who have a particular agenda, who have certain objectives, and who have been taught to teach certain things, and they dare not teach anything else. So.
That's true. But also, you know, a university like McGill has been known for, it goes back to my student days, you know, when we used to hear about McGill's massive amount of military research going into McGill. But you never really found out what kind of research. Now, of course, I think, some of that military research may very well have been, you know, the kind of secret stuff that I'm not trying to talk about, that I think affected a whole generation in Montreal. But there was also, I believe that the Protestant School Board of Greater Montreal, we had, like, confessional schools here. We had, like, Catholic schools, and they were mostly French, and we had Protestant schools, they were English, and the Protestant school board was heavily dominated by people who came out of the military. That's who my father worked for, and many ex-military people. So they felt it was fine to refer some of their problem students to Dr. Cameron, and it was in the newspaper at the time that he would deal with problem children if parents couldn't control their child. He had new And all this kind of thing was really legitimate. It was in the newspaper every week, every month, you know? Some new great thing that he was doing down there.
I guess the
because money was coming from the military and the CIA.
No, I know that. I'm in Montreal, and I've actually gone to McGill and gone in the student council, office, and I've made inquiries as to, have you guys heard about Dr. Cameron and the Allen Institute? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you should find out about it. It happened here, you know.
McGill had eight hospitals that they operated through, including the Montreal Children's and a number of other hospitals in their network. They were just a huge octopus, in themselves. So they had research going on in a lot of places. And I have heard of people who left town because they knew what was going on with children. I heard some of them ended up in Germany. I heard there was a documentary in Germany a few years ago where people talked about what was actually going on at the Montreal Neurological Institute under Wilder Penfield, but they had to leave Canada.
Wow, yes. Yeah. It's frightening. And it's like Kevin Annett, who's been a champion for Aboriginal rights and exposing residential schooling. But it's funny, because I've been around this world now for almost 18 years, and once you start down that rabbit hole, you find yourself at the bottom of the rabbit hole, or near the bottom, you'll start falling into ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse, and you'll start... all roads lead to that.
Something really, really dark. And really
something
yes,
so
I've
dark
noticed
and
that
evil
too.
That it's hard for anyone to imagine. And those false memory syndrome, those creeps, and many of them have been brought up on pedophile charges. Like, it's so obvious to me what that
but
is.
The thing is that amnesia, like I said, amnesia is what they attempted to create, and they're victims, and the victims are amnesiac, and they're walking around like me, someone like me who for the first 50 years of her life had no awareness that I had any connection to any of this. When I started looking into it, I was connected to it from so many different angles, being at the right place at the right time, having a father who was a patient of doctor, everything connected me to it.
Father did it?
But yet I knew nothing about it, right?
My last question is, and this, sorry to take so long on this call, thank you very much for having me on. My last question to Anne is, do you think your father, do you think he was given any kind of particular, manipulative line on how this was going to somehow benefit you, do you think? Or why do you think your father would be coerced into it, anything?
Well, I think being the military, and they could blackmail him, so there was no choice. I think he probably tried very hard to protect us. And I think maybe for a time, at least, he convinced himself that we were special. That was the line. We were special.
Yeah.
We were gifted. We were destined for something great. My mother thought, she once told me, and to my total surprise, nobody had ever told me this before, that I was destined for a career at the United Nations.
Yeah,
well,
I've
never
heard that. That's very common with ritual abuse victims, that they've all been told that they're special.
Well,
that includes them being used as sex slaves and all kinds of things. Anyway, thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. When we come back, we'll take a call from Michael in New Jersey. Right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
And our guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is anndiamond.net. And we have Michael from New Jersey. Michael, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just did a quick check on the genealogy part that the guy called in about the James Cameron. I don't see anything on James Cameron, but you probably could find something to David Cameron, the Prime Minister, because it goes back to his father, Ian Donald Cameron. If you go look at Ian Donald Cameron, his father is Ewen Donald Cameron, E-W-E-N Donald Cameron.
Yeah.
So you probably have a connection going back to Sir Ewen Cameron, and that's probably where your connection genealogy is.
That's really interesting. He'd be the right age. I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, I'll look into it.
Well, Ewen Donald Cameron was born in 1906, so.
No, Dr. Cameron was born in... Wait a second now, but I think it was before the turn of the century.
1901 was Dr. Cameron, but
yes. Okay,
I'm thinking the family Ewen Cameron name is a connection there, so you might want to have some fun with
all
that.
All right, yeah, no, there could be cousins.
Thanks, guys.
You know?
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, eugenics.
Yes,
topic, and topic.
Let me just read something that Churchill said in 1906. He said, and I quote, "The unnatural and increasingly rapid growth of the feeble-minded and insane classes, coupled as it is with steady restriction among all the thrifty, energetic, and superior stocks, constitutes a national and race danger, which it is impossible to exaggerate. I feel that the source from which the stream of madness is fed should be cut off and sealed before another year has passed, unquote. And he said that in 1906, so he was definitely a big...
The mental hygiene movement, you know,
yes.
That's huge. And it was mainstream in Hollywood, they say, you know, well, the whole idea behind Hollywood is the images of perfect-looking people that you kind of, you know, like almost like the master race, kind of watch them on the screen, they become gods, you know, the silver screen, and all the whole, you know, culture, I mean, California culture, that white American thing, you know, but they were so serious about it. I mean, and there was nothing to stop them because they had, I guess, before the Second World War, there'd been, you know, which I guess you could say was the, you know, the limit of eugenics. I mean, they had to then back off from it, and it became a discredited science, but it doesn't mean it stopped. They still continue doing, they just don't call it eugenics experiments anymore, but they're still doing that kind of, I mean.
Sure.
You know, genetics.
Right, yeah. And they call it other things. Yeah. They've certainly changed the name. And actually, I mean, eugenics to a certain point, I mean, if you were raising dogs, you wouldn't take two losers and say, and mate them. You would want to have the best stock if you're raising cattle or horses or sheep or whatever.
Do scientists own human beings, and are they
exactly?
Breed us. We are, you know, we come from whatever God, or wherever we come from, we're spiritual entities who have a right to make our decisions. I think that, you know, there was no teaching that I know of that says we're supposed to be, you know, treated like livestock, but people do.
Sure, and you know? And who is it, who are these elite people who have made these decisions that they can decide who is worthy to live and who isn't?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been this sense of it, you know, I mean, elites, I've always been very uncomfortable with the idea of elites and the way that they seem to be band together in societies and so on to further their own interests. So they think just to hold on to the positions they have because, you know, and then the way that they're so intolerant of the variety of life, you know, well, that's what we have on this planet right now is the death of all these species and also, wars to reduce population, so that what one race can be in control of the class or civilizations, you know. We can't all live on this planet as, you know, with the diversity that we've always had here.
Sure.
The people that are at war with that whole idea, you know. It's just foreign. It seems foreign to me or to what I remember, what I learned, you know, when I grew up. But there seems to be a lot of people who are going that way, think that way.
Sure. Well, it's just the government schools and whatnot. Now, you say in your book that in 1952 your dad was given experimental drugs which they told him would reduce his anxiety. And you say that he probably... volunteered for this program, and it was codenamed Project Artichoke.
That was the first, the precursor of MKUltra.
Yeah. Okay.
And Artichoke, which is the beginnings of, and I think part of it began in Germany, you know, at the, sometimes at military bases around Frankfurt and so on, places like that, where they had prisoners of war, they would experiment on German and other nationalities, Russian prisoners that they captured, everybody was probably doing this kind of thing, but I know that it was being done in Frankfurt at the NATO headquarters. I've been there, actually, the building, and it had been the IG, well, here's something interesting, the IG Farben, you know, that's the huge chemical company that made Cyclone B and said, oh, we're not allowed to go there. Anyway, it was taken over by NATO and Americans, and
everything in Germany was taken over by the Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Everything was and the British and the French and, you know,
sure.
and the Russians.
The Soviets.
But, by somebody, yeah. But they were, I've heard that there were some of the early artichoke experiments originated in that particular building. It was a peculiar building in the middle of Frankfurt, in the middle of a field. It had been a mental hospital also at one point. And they had a basement and many basements and guy who grew up in that, there, basically.
Sure.
And,
well, I prefer, well, I like, as I mentioned before, I like Edwin Black's book, War Against the Weak, and the whole idea of eugenics was created here. The master race theory was created here in this country, and it was created long before before Hitler became chancellor in Germany. And I mean, they had a network of hospitals, and you've mentioned the hospital up in up where you are, Allen. What did you call it?
The Allen Memorial was one.
Yes,
Columbia, you know, like you said, Columbia was another place, a big center for those mind control experiments. Tulane University in Louisiana.
And
there's a whole list of Stanford, you know, Ithaca, Cornell and Ithaca, also big time. Joan Baez's father came out of there, and you know she's gone public as a survivor of satanic abuse. You know that?
Oh, right. Well, a lot of people in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
According to Dave McGowan,
were
part of the intelligence industry, children of people who worked in intelligence. And then you have, you know, the Carnegie Institution. I mean, all of these various institutions and foundations. And so you can say, well, gosh, the elite are kind of behind all of this.
Yeah, they're behind a lot of things. They don't tell us. They don't tell us very much, you know.
No, they tell us exactly what they want us to believe in.
Musicians. No, I have a feeling that many musicians, I mean, the country and western scene in Nashville is, you know, very much involved in human trafficking, mind control.
Oh, really?
Creation of sex slaves. I tend to believe it just based on, you know, things I've heard. And should I tell my story? I sat next to Kris Kristofferson once in the LA airport. Should I tell this?
Go ahead. We've got about 20 seconds.
All right. Well, it was in 1987. I was on my way to Mexico, and this man was looking like and sounding like Kris Kristofferson came and sat next to me with a friend of his, and they began talking. They were going down to Mexico to see some women down there. And Kristofferson was leafing through Soldier of Fortune magazine. And that shocked me just in itself, because it's a magazine for mercenaries. And he was talking about Nicaragua and going down to Managua and going down. And I got such a bad feeling from him. And I knew nothing at the time that I picked up my bags and I crossed into the other side of the waiting room just to get away from him. Something bad going on there.
I would have taken notes.
I should have.
Well, thank you, Anne, so much for being on the program today.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I hope you didn't scare people.
Oh, no. Our listeners are very astute. No.
I know they are.
Scare easy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye-bye, Anne.
John's